And there's a reason why I usually use a pulpit. But we're going to be kind of changing gears this week. Last 4 weeks, we're looking at the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah was, to say the least, somebody who came with a very hard message. Very hard message for the people. He spoke about judgment for all the world. Zephaniah told us unequivocally that everybody would be judged. But he also held out the hand of hope, the love of God. He said that if we would seek God before that day of judgment, if we would be obedient to Him and love Him and follow Him, then His mercy and grace would cover us, and that by having a relationship with Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we could be with Him forever. That judgment would pass over us, and instead we would receive His blessing. Now we're going to move to the Song of Songs. Also, some of you might remember it called the Song of Solomon, depending upon your Bible translation. It's listed both ways. Now, I remember as a youth when I was in junior high, and the first time I discovered the Song of Songs, we thought it was funny as all get out. We'd read this, titter, titter, laugh, laugh, because we were a bunch of junior high boys, of course. And because what is the Song of Songs deals with is the intimate love of God for His church, His people, and the desire that He has for us, His church, who is to be His bride, and the relationship that they're supposed to be. Now, in the Song of Songs, which was written by Solomon, it is a love song. It is also an illustration, an allegory of that relationship between God and the church, His bride. We have a couple of characters. We have the beloved. We have some friends. We have the lover. And this is who's here and who's speaking. Now, we're going to turn to Song of Songs, and we're just going to read a short passage of it today, but I would encourage you to read this in its entirety. It's not very long, and it will kind of give you an insight. It's one of those books of the Bible that we pass over quite often and don't give it the attention that is indeed due. So, Song of Songs, starting with the second chapter, the 16th verse. If you want to turn your own Bible, or it will be up on the screen behind me. It says, "My lover is mine, and I am his. He browses among the lilies until the day breaks, and the shadows flee. Turn, my lover, and be like a gazelle or like a young stag on the rugged hills. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. I will get up now and go about the city through its streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go. Till I had brought him to my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that is there for us. Lord, we ask right now that you would be here this morning, that you would encourage us, that you would bless us. Lord, that you would give us understanding of your word, that you would show it us how this word, written thousands of years ago, is as new and fresh today, and how it applies to our lives this very moment. Lord, open up your love letter to us this morning. Might we know and understand your will, and how this applies to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, excuse me, I'm just going to move this out of the way for a moment. Well, our passage here this morning is referring to God. The Beloved is the one speaking. As I said, there's several people involved here. And speaking about the Lover. My Lover is mine and I am His. This is quite a passage. If we consider ourselves the Beloved of God, and we think of God as our Lover, this is a very intimate, very personal way to think of God. Very, very different than what we normally do. We talk about God, our Savior. And within the Christian Mission Alliance, we talk about Jesus as our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, our coming King. Very rarely do we speak of Him as our Lover. Yet this is what we have here in our Word today. God is to be our Lover. See, this is why Zephaniah was running around preaching doom and judgment. Because God wishes to have this type of relationship with us that is intimate, that is personal. And we, His people, His creation, were violating it. We were basically having illicit affairs with other gods. We were not faithful. God loves us. He is jealous for our affection. He needs to be the number one love in our lives, the Lover of our souls, the one to whom we seek after because we find our heart loves. I search for the one my heart loves. Is the scripture here? Are you really searching for God? Are we searching for God? This is the challenge that we have, is that our heart has been made with a God-sized hole in it that only God can fill. And our heart loves Him, yet we search after other things and try to put things in that place. And thus we have the problems. But here, in this illustration that we have in the Song of Songs, we have the intimacy, the beauty of the picture of the Beloved looking for her Lover, wanting to be with Him and Him alone. She meditates on Him. She thinks about Him. Then she goes out and she looks for Him. In the middle of the night, when she should be at home resting, when she should be someplace safe. But He's not there, so she goes looking. Because she has not yet invited Him in to be with her. And to stay and be with her forever. So she goes out looking. She even runs into the city gate, into the city guard. But they don't arrest her. They don't run her off. They let her continue the search. She goes forward in her search. And she finally finds her Lover. What does she do next? Does she move immediately into that deep relationship? Right there? No. She takes and seeks to know Him and seeks to bring Him into her life. She takes Him right there. The watchman And she said, scarcely had I passed him when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go till I had brought him to my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. She brought her to the most important and intimate place in her life. Her mother's house, to that room where she was conceived. To her family, to all that was important to her. This is where we are. We see the intimacy of this relationship. We see the depth of it. And this is what God wants for us. We also see how it's exclusive. You can't have this relationship with 35 different people. You only have it with one. Have it with God. It's an example of marriage. Now, when we go to Ephesians, I didn't tell you about this one, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, it says, that's okay, you can't put it up on screen because I shut this projector off. If you want, if you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, this is what it says. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. This illustration is about Christ and the church. The church is not this building, people. All who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior is the church. We are just one small part of it. But it is the entirety of the body of believers. That is the church. And it's our job as the church to love God with all we are, to seek after Him. Always. And to bring Him into the most intimate, personal, private, and important parts of our life. And to hold on to Him and not let Him go. Not because God's going to run away, it's because we allow the things of the world to gather our attention and take us away from Him. Don't worry that God's going to run off on you. Be more concerned that you're going to run off from God. So how do we not run off from God? Well, we hold on to Him. We wrap our arms around Him. We take Him to that most intimate, personal, and important part of our lives. And then we make Him integral and part of it. People, the Song of Songs is a beautiful, beautiful metaphor of the church, the bride of God, and God's love for us. This is why God gets jealous. I don't know about you, but anybody goes chasing after Donna, I'm going to get mad. So, your spouse, same thing, that's my guess. God sees us as His spouse, His love, His beloved, His lover. And to have us running around cheating on Him just ticks Him off. So we're not to do that. Instead, we're to try to make it pure and to give Him our full attention. Make Him number one in everything. We are to come alongside of Him, hold on to Him, and then take Him to that place of deepest intimacy in our lives. Denying Him nothing. Then we have the relationship that God wants to share with us. Then we live out being the bride of Christ as a church. This morning, we're going to have a wedding. The relationship between a man and a woman that comes about by uniting them in matrimony, where they become a man, a husband and a wife, is exactly the level of intimacy and dependence upon one another that God is seeking to have with us. So I read in Ephesians, we have these requirements for the church. And when a man comes and marries a woman, become one flesh. It says there that it wasn't talking about the church. He was talking about, or wasn't talking about us individuals, but talking about the church and our relationship with God. That is to be our relationship with the Father. So we're going to have a wedding. And this wedding, we're going to pray, is deep in its love, one for another, and in its binding unity, Jesse with Gladys, as the two of them are bound up with God. This is the relationship that God wants to have with us. So I'm going to ask that you just give me a moment as we do a couple quick preparations here. And then we will begin the wedding service.